All right. Well, welcome to Zero Day Sins. It's the podcast where two founders journal their story of building a wooden purse brand, and we have fun doing it. My name's Jason. I'm a woodworker.
And I am Chelsea. I'm a designer.
Nice. Well, now we're in episode 3.
That was less awkward than last week, right?
I feel like the first one is like, okay. Second one's an accident, but now it's like for real.
Now we're really doing it.
Yeah, I think so.
We're committed.
That's how it feels like. So, well, we have a...
It's like a third date.
Yeah, right? Because the third one, it's like now it's real.
Yeah.
Like you're like, oh, we're actually like dating. Like we're doing this thing.
Fill it up or wrap it up. Like, which one's it going to be?
That is really early to bust that out in the podcast. So we've got an audience too. All right. Well, so we've got a special drink featured, a drink sponsor for today. So we've got Elliot's going to be giving us some drinks today. So Drew, what do you got for us for the first round?
First round is going to be oatmeal cookie. It is our house infused cinnamon vodka with butterscotch schnapps and bamboo cream liqueur.
Yay. Okay. So for anyone that doesn't know, Elliot's is a restaurant and bar off of Congress.
Yeah.
Downtown. Local to Tucson, you definitely know. So we have sweet baby angel Drew here making us drinks.
Yeah. All right. Well, cheers.
All right. Cheers.
And for those in the audience too. Cheers. All right. So.
I'm trying not to gulp in the microphone.
Oh, I know, right?
That was kind of spicy.
So here's the thing. So when I got to know Billy,
yeah,
he owns Elliot's. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize Billy's last name is Elliot. That's where the name comes from.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, that's makes pretty sense. Cool. But yeah, him and his wife own it. And they're open. Here's what the other thing, too, is that they're open 7 days a week. And sometimes down here in Tucson, Mondays can be a
Mondays
little quiet. Yeah. So that's good. Monday through Thursdays, they're open 4 to 2 a.m. Nice. Fridays through Sundays, 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. Kitchens open up until midnight every day as well, too.
Little midnight snack?
Yeah, Billy came down to proper and he was eating some like bombing like tacos or some shrimp tacos. And I was like, where'd you get those? He's like, yo, we make these things at a restaurant. And I was like, oh, I thought you were just a bar this whole time.
You didn't know they were a restaurant?
No.
Oh my God, their food is so good.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Yeah, totally. So, open May 12th. They got 20 flavors of house-infused vodka. Did you know that it is available to buy bottles to go out of Elliot's?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
I know. Super fun.
Drew, do you have Ray Rays?
Ray Rays?
Ray Rays?
Ray Rays? No, I don't
Billy. We're going to get some Ray Rays in there.
Oh, man, shots fired right off the rip.
Nope, we're getting Ray Rays in there.
Right. All right. Well, what's the title for the podcast?
Today's podcast is Zero Days Since Jason Smoked Out the Service Guy.
Yeah.
So this episode is all about some of our silliest and sometimes dangerous mistakes that we've made in the process of building this purse company that we've been building.
Yep.
And just how to kind of overcome the obstacles and learn from them and keep going. Because it's really easy to feel like a failure. And it's really easy to talk yourself into quitting when things get hard.
Or just even some of the resources that we used along the way to manifest this thing. Like research and development.
Yes.
And so I thought it'd be fun to tell a couple of stories. And then it kind of leads up to smoking out the service guy.
Yeah.
So, which is a fun little story.
So I think our first anecdote about it, our first really big mistake was when we were prototyping the Timber Tote. We knew we didn't want it to just be wooden on the inside. We wanted it to be wood on the outside, but we wanted something that caught the eye on the inside. So I was like, we need something that's going to stick to the wood because I don't want it just flapping around in there, loose.
Right.
And
that was important because we wanted to say we didn't want that.
Right. And we knew we wanted, with the shape that we were going with, we wanted it to be one cohesive piece. We wanted it to move cohesively. We just wanted it to work as one full unit from the inside out. So we knew we had to have something that stuck to the wood.
Sure.
So my first thought process was adhesive vinyl. We'll get really high quality adhesive vinyl. It comes in all kinds of colors, all kinds of patterns. We could totally work with that. So we did.
So real quick, before we do that. Now, so I had a little diode laser.
Yeah.
So, and it was burning. It was
a hobbyist laser.
Very hobbyist. And so it worked, but it wasn't working good enough. Mm-hmm. And so they have a CO2 laser in the marketplace. And so much stronger, way more powerful. And we didn't have that. And they're kind of expensive at the time, you know? They're like $35,000, you know, to get one. So we were like, well, how are we going to do this?
Yeah.
And so someone had shared with us that part of Startup Tucson, mm-hmm. there was the Forge lab in there, and they have a CO2 laser in there.
Yeah, they had the exact laser that we were looking at.
Yeah.
So we go and we're working down at the Forge lab, and it was kind of funny because at this point, you and I are still getting to know each other. Like, we haven't really spent a lot of one-on-one right. time with each other. And so this was, like, working down there was kind of the first experience we'd really had one-on-one.
Sure.
And it was kind of a test of whether or not we could actually get along and work together. And I think we did a really good job. It was fun.
Yeah.
And then we're using this laser. We're cutting these out with the laser with the vinyl on the inside.
Right.
And we were doing that for about a month.
Oh, yeah.
Like multiple trips.
Yeah.
And
all sorts of different cool vinyls. Yeah. We're getting like fired up. Yeah. We're like, this is working.
People are buying them. We're like, this is a real thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then one day
we're in there and
you were in there by yourself. I wasn't there.
Oh, you weren't there?
No.
Oh. And then so they had like not a chaperone, but like kind of someone who was overseeing kind of the whole lab.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, what are you guys doing? We're cutting these things. What are they made out of? All wood, you know? And then we've got these vinyl liners and everything. She's like, oh. She's like, uh-oh. She bolts it to the laser and like hits the emergency stop, which you don't do.
Which I almost did today.
Which you almost did today. On your own piece.
It's a big red button.
So don't hit it. Yeah, it's red for stop. She runs over there and hits it. And she's like, yo, we got to get out of this room. And we're like, what? So come to find out, the vinyl that we're using has PVC inside of it.
Yeah.
And so when the laser goes to cut it, it off-gasses chloride,
yeah.
which will kill you.
Just a casual, slow poisoning to death.
Yes. So we were like, oh, okay, we got to fix this sucker up.
So vinyl was out. Couldn't use vinyl anymore.
Yeah, so now we're stuck and people are buying them. And yeah, we're like,
trying to figure something else out. So we did ultimately figure something else out. I figured out a way to successfully adhere cotton fabric to the wood in a safe, ethical, non-accidentally killing anybody way. And that's been working out great. However, we were just recently back at the Forge Lab at,
it was during the idea funding.
Oh, yeah. The idea funding pitch competition. Yeah. And our first like in-person practice was at the Glowforge, that's a different laser.
Yeah.
It was at the Forge Lab. And when we were walking by that room, we noticed a big giant sign across the laser saying no vinyl allowed.
Yeah.
Sign
the sign.
Yeah, like, I know. I was like, we should autograph it and be like, that's us. That's because of us. So I realized that, you know those like, oh, we have a new drink.
Oh,
we need like a bell.
I told Drew, I said, if I have to ask for one, then he's fired.
That is so mean. Oh my God.
What do you mean?
Part of my job.
Okay, so this is the old fashioned?
Classic old fashioned made with Basil Hayden.
Basil Hayden.
Okay.
Oh, perfect.
This one I'm just gonna.
It's even got the like little orange.
Yeah, buddy. I love me an old fashioned. But okay, when I saw that sign on there, the first thing I thought of was the to warning labels. To being the reason for warning labels. I was thinking of, you know, when you get like a blow dryer and it has like a picture of like, don't put it in the bathtub, or like it has like those warnings of like things not to do, and you're like, who would do that? Like, who's stupid enough that they need to? Okay, well, we are.
Right.
We are the reason for the warning.
Yeah,
label.
There's a warning that your coffee from McDonald's is hot.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't know that?
Yeah. Oh, well,
we're the ones that put that up.
So we're the reason for the warning label. So anyone that's used that laser.
Yeah, right.
You're welcome.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway.
So then we ended up buying our own laser.
Yes,
so
we did end up getting our own laser.
Now we've got one, and we do it out of my house.
Right.
So
that was mistake number one. And when things like that happen, it's so easy to be like, well, it's never going to work. It's too expensive to do anything else. I know. Like, it can almost stop you in your tracks, and it's very discouraging.
For sure.
But you kind of have to have the attitude of, okay, well, what's another way? You cannot take no for an answer.
Yeah. And this is where I think being resourceful can be so helpful.
Uh-huh.
And this is where the maker community or, you know, like different nonprofits that cater around entrepreneurs or trying to launch. This is so critically important because we have like, I mean, really, I mean, we've tried to tell them before, but we have them to thank for having that Forge Lab available because we would never have been able to. It was too big of a risk to buy the laser by itself if it wasn't for them.
Well, and I have to be honest with you. I think that I've said this before about all of my businesses, that something happens when I'm on the right track where it's like things just fall into place with very little effort. And I don't mean that to sound like I'm not putting the effort in. I just mean that like I don't have to force a square peg into a round hole in order to make something work. And it literally just works out very serendipitously. And that connection with the Forge Lab was one of those things. And the things that happened within it was like a domino effect of getting us to where we are today with it. Because if we never would have known that the vinyl was dangerous, A, we probably could have gotten very sick.
Yeah, 100%.
B, I probably wouldn't have wanted to push it forward as much because I'll be honest, like the vinyl was fine. It worked. It got the job done, but it wasn't inspiring to me.
Sure.
And I wasn't like, there's not as many options. Once we got into the fabric, it like clicked in my head and I was like, this is freaking amazing because there's anything we can do for it. And then we added the printer and now we're printing our own fabrics. So it's like, I don't think I would have stayed as invested and inspired if we stuck with the vinyl.
Yeah, totally.
Than if we were forced to change from that.
Sure.
If we had never been forced to change.
Yeah,
I so think that I don't think it would have.
That's your time now.
Yeah, yeah, that and just we were talking about needing a laser, and then one fell in our lap.
Yeah,
for the time that we needed it to make sure that our idea was working, to make sure we were on the right track, and make sure it was worth buying one.
Sure.
And like who would think that the like you could just find a CO2 laser in an office downtown, like
the one that we were looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's powerful enough.
Yeah.
Bed was big enough.
Yeah. And we were able to use it for free. Like
That was really kind of amazing.
So when things are falling into place, even if it seems like things are going wrong, they're going wrong for a reason.
Sure.
And if you're not hurting yourself forcing something to work out and it's working out a certain way and you're finding the windows when a door closes, then just keep going. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, and then the printer has a whole
heartfelt. What was in that oatmeal one?
I know. Get you some more whiskey.
I know, I need whiskey.
Get this thing back on track. Well, then when we were looking for the printer, so it's a direct-to-garment DTG printer.
Yes.
And so it's meant for printing on T-shirts.
Yes.
But it's like the professional way. So it's not the like transfer on there.
Right.
So we print on the T-shirts. And so I thought, well, what if we were to be able to use fabric, print on there? These things are like 15 grand, like brand new. So I'm just like, I don't know. So we start doing the search on the old Facebook marketplace, right? And I find one and it's, I don't even remember. It was like $4,000 or something like that. And I was like, I'm going to offer him like two. And the guy was, he was like,
you went that low? I don't remember that.
Oh yeah. You know, so I was like, I blacked it out. And the guy didn't answer. And so I wrote back and I was like, hey, I don't know. I was like, well, if you have some like ink or something like that, maybe I can raise my price up. And he was like, come get it for 22 or whatever. I was like, oh, no way. He goes, listen, a buddy like brought it over, left it, and hasn't shown up in like 4 months, and I'm moving out, so I need it gone. Oh. Sweet, where you live? Nogales. I'm like, okay. So I pack Avery up, and we go down there, and this house is, I mean, you can see like the border. So we're like, can we roll in? The guy was like, here it is. I have no idea if it works. He's like, I don't know. I turned it on like 4 months ago. I'm like, let's just go. So I paid him the cash. We carried this thing out. We had to
wait. Did you not test it there?
No.
I thought you did.
Sorry.
Wait.
Fingers crossed.
You just dropped $2,200 and didn't test it. I totally thought you tested it. We had like
$2,200 in sales of all lifetime sales.
Listen, we're very lucky that worked out because this story could have gone very differently.
Brought it home. Gave that thing a clean job, which it needed.
I do remember watching like videos on how to clean it. We were like YouTubing it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to learn everything. Little Uncle Rico. Love him.
Yeah, it's a Rico 1000. And so we call it Uncle Rico. That's our printer.
It's in its prime.
And then, yeah, but now, but to go back to kind of the story, it's like now I push you as the designer to create. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we need to have our own collections. Because when we got the fabric working, we're still at the mercy of whatever design exists. The fabric is. Yeah. And if we have a wholesale account or someone just is like, oh, I want a bunch of these things for family or a wedding or something, it's like, well, we don't have enough fabric and we can't get it. It's out of stock or something.
Like, I love the process of sourcing the fabrics and all of that. And like when we have a new account or a client that wants something specific, I have so much fun shopping for it. Like, it's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah.
But when we want something that we're going to keep around, something that we know is working that we want to keep around, it's hard to be able to guarantee that because the fabric doesn't always last forever.
Right.
You know, we can get 6 purses out of a yard of fabric. That's fine.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Someone out there does. But that fabric may not be around. Like, we've run into it a bunch of times.
Yeah.
We got an order for a purse that I was confident I had the fabric for. And then I got into my little box of fabric. I had none of it.
Which one?
It was the skull and roses.
Oh, yeah.
I panicked. And I was searching for that fabric everywhere. I could not find it. And I was like, we're going to have to refund her. Like, I cannot find this fabric anywhere. I can find something close. Like, I was just so upset. Because A, it was beautiful fabric and I was bummed we couldn't find it. But B, I did not want to let this person down. And it was like really stressful. I ended up finding it at Joanne Fabrics on Oracle. I had to drive I live on the east side of town. I had to drive all the way to Oracle and Wetmore. And I bought like 5 yards of it. I was like, give me everything you have.
But still, even now, what we have is what we got.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, so that's where now I'm pushing you and you're getting to that point where you're coming up with those designs. And now all we need is white fabric.
Yeah.
And now we will always be able to have it.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's another lesson learned. Like, we committed to this thing. I was like, yeah, we have it. And then we didn't have it. And then I was panicking, trying to figure out. And I was like, this cannot happen again. I cannot feel this way ever again. Like, I don't want to have to, like,
tell Jason this.
Yeah, I'm going to get fired.
He'll freak out.
Fire me.
He's a lot.
But I don't want to have to disappoint a customer. Like, I want to be able to give people what they want because it is a very special piece. And the feeling of not being able to fulfill that is incredibly stressful and heartbreaking. And I don't want to ever feel that way again.
Yeah.
So the fabric printer, again,
Rico.
Kind of fell in our lap.
Again, serendipitous, right?
Yeah. So now we have that. So
yeah, totally.
Another obstacle.
And now we're off to the races. Now it's just, I mean, now we're coming up with, this is where you and I kind of, I think, have a very unique opportunity with our different skill sets. Because I'll come up with just, hey, like the spikes. Hey, you know, there's these spikes. The laser can cut out a little bit different. Can you do anything with that? And you're like,
heck yes, I can do. Have you?
Bet.
I got to show you pictures of my like little punk rock days.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'm like, there's glow in the dark ones we
can do. Yeah, buddy. I got to show you pictures of my raver days.
Yeah. You know? And now we're down this research and development where it's like, what else can we do? We're doing wallets, you know, and so we're always pushing
belt buckles.
We have the belt buckle. I was going to say, what's happened since the last podcast? We've developed a
Jason
belt buckle.
Jason Robinson is obsessed with belt buckles.
Yes.
All right, next shot.
Okay. Yes. Oh, Jesus. All right.
This is called a surfer's on acid. But Billy likes to call it Drew's on acid because I look like a little bit of a surfer.
Speaking of rave days.
Yes, exactly. I still rave to this day. We'll never stop.
And these are drinks that you can actually get at Elliot's.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you can absolutely get these at Elliot's. Oh, my God. This is going to be one part Jaeger, one part coconut rum, and a part pineapple juice.
You said no vodka, but everything else was good? I didn't know Jaeger was coming.
Okay, I didn't Jaeger's know Jaeger was on the table.
I forgot about that.
Okay. All right, it's fine.
All right.
Here we go.
Here, we'll do this real quick.
Drew's on acid. Cheers.
All right, cheers. All right.
What Drew's was on acid. Yeah, what was it actually called?
Surfer on acid.
Oh, I like Drew's on acid.
I forgot. Everyone in the audience, too, is.
Oh, yeah, everyone's
Drew's
shots.
Drew's like hooking everyone up. I love this.
Oh, yes, I love it. All right. Great.
All right, I want to move on a little
actually
bit.
Scrumptious.
Scrumptious?
Yes.
My personal shot.
It's true. You're delicious. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Listen, so, we're three in.
Listen.
I take no responsibility.
20 minutes in and we're winding this thing up quick. Right. I want to talk about, okay, so things that happened since the last podcast, we can talk about in the Timber Tote, but something major has happened in your personal life and mine simultaneously.
Yeah.
And that-
That are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum.
And that is driving kids to school. So that the listener, you guys listen, my boys are now 19 and 16. My 16-year-old just got his driver's license. And so I have driven a child to school and picked him up from school for the very last time. And simultaneously-
3 days ago, I did it for the first time.
A kindergartner.
Yes. And this is like, okay, he was in preschool. So like I've done the whole drop-off thing, but it was a tiny little preschool. So I would park the car, I'd get out, I'd walk him to his classroom, I'd give him a kiss and hug at his classroom. His teacher would take him and that would be that. I've never done a pickup drop-off line until 3 days ago.
And what did I say to you?
You were like telling me you're going to be like, get out of the car. And I was like, never. He's my baby.
I'm like, you have no idea what you're about to experience.
The stupidity of the human race.
Hold on. Before we get there, right? I'm like, you're like, no, whatever. I'm like, listen, you're going to be like, Jameson, put your backpack on before the car stops
and just jump out.
And you're like, no.
I don't even want to tell you what I said yesterday.
And I'm going to give him a hug and a kiss. I'm like, no, you're not. Okay. Day one, you're like, oh, I gave him this hug and the kiss. Day two,
I said, you can put your backpack on outside.
I call you and you're in pickup line. And I'm like, how's it going?
No, okay. Okay. So let me back up because you're like, you're going to be like, get out of the car or whatever you said. And I was like, no, never, never. Okay. Literally day two. He was trying to put his backpack on in the car. And I said, you can put that on outside.
Oh, no.
The teacher had opened the door. She's waiting. And I was like, put it on outside.
Let's go. Let's go, kid. Like,
I love you. Have a good day.
This may be your first one, but these teachers are like, done. Let's go. We got a line.
Oh, my God. And then
pickup
was.
So I call you and I you're stressed. In the pickup. And I'm like, I was so mad. How's it going?
I was so mad. Because, okay, here's our, so where, I'm not saying where he's going to school, but there's two directions to turn into the school from. You can either turn in from the north side or you can turn in from the south side and it's a stoplight. So there's a right-hand turn into the parking lot or there's a left-hand turn into the parking lot. I was in the left-hand turn lane and the jerks in the right-hand turn lane. Okay, here's the thing. You got a zipper. If you're not going to zipper, you need to
nobody knows about this
turn. Listen, I went to, when I was in, I went to college in LA.
Okay.
You learn how to zipper. Like, yes. Learn how to zipper.
That's the common sense way of driving that nobody.
So what was happening was all of these right-hand turn people, when it's a green light, the left-hand turn people need to go. Like, wait your turn. Wait, and you can turn right on red.
And you're explaining like what they should be doing.
Yes. You need to wait for the light to turn red. So that the left-hand turn people can turn when it's green.
Yes.
Give us a chance to get in there and get our children.
100%.
But the right-hand turn people, there's some buttheads that are like trying to get in there and they're turning in front of the left-hand turn people. I was so mad. I had like a whole crash out with on the phone.
And I am laughing.
I'm sweating right now thinking about it. I'm so mad.
I'm sitting here dying because I told you, I'm like, you have no idea.
You're like, you're on day two.
Oh, and I'm like, you got 10 more years of this. And I just got done with it.
10 years. I don't even want to think about 10 years.
Mary Ellen and I, we were talking. So I was telling her this story last night and she was dying laughing.
I think about the last 10 years of my life and I think about how different of a person I am now than I was 10 years ago. And I can't even contemplate 10 years in the future. Like, that is insane to me.
You don't even understand. I mean, it's like time has like freed up for me and Marielle.
Well, good for you.
I did my time. Don't talk to me about this.
I'm so happy for you.
I did my time, so.
I'm glad you have more time on your hands.
Funsies.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, that's like a lot. It is a lot of time taken out of my day.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like, he's my baby. It's fine. Like,
And there's this other like split, there's like this 30-second window of time where you're either in front of the bus or behind the bus.
Yeah.
And you're SOL. And if so bus, don't be late.
Yeah. Well, shit.
You might as well just be like 30 minutes late.
I saw a car.
30 seconds
I saw
late.
A car. I was trying to get a picture of their license plate yesterday, but they went in the turn lane before I could get it. The license plate said always late. And I was like, oh.
That was a license plate?
Yeah, that was a license plate.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I was like, oh, he got away from me. I wanted to send it to you. Listen, Jameson was actually very upset with me this morning because he missed, like, we didn't get there in time for him to have playtime on the playground before.
Oh, yeah.
Granted, he had a full-blown meltdown. So, like, we were dealing with that. Hopefully tomorrow's a little better. But I got to...
That sounds like a natural consequence.
Yeah. So, but I still felt guilty because, like, I don't know, I felt bad. He's still getting used to everything. I don't know. It only takes me 6 minutes to get there from my house.
That's pretty good.
It took us
20 minutes.
It took me 30 minutes to get through the process this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I was late. Like, I was like, on the cusp of, like, cutoff time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine how long it's going to take if I'm on time there's more people.
Well, that's true. Mariel wanted me to share this. Be thankful you don't have two kids at two separate schools. So you got to go through this twice. Because when the boys were 3 years apart, right, we had a middle school and an elementary at one point. Two different schools, two different... So we would go, drop off, come back home, pick up the second, go drop off. So we had to pull the shit off twice.
No, thank you.
I'm telling you. So she wanted me to articulate how, you know.
I'm good with one.
Uh-huh. You got one.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with one. That's fine. Well, anyway.
All right.
Okay, what's next?
So the Timber Tote, what's happened since the last podcast since then?
We turned my book into a Timber Tote.
We're doing that? Yeah, it's in process.
I should have brought it.
We picked up another wholesale account.
Yeah, we did that too.
South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Yeah. And is it South Carolina?
Yeah. I think so.
There's Wyoming.
So they've been around.
Is it South Carolina or is it Georgia?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Crap.
Gonna make me look for it. Anyway.
You can cut this out.
Regardless. I'm not gonna find it. Oh. These shots are coming in, right? They're coming in hot right now.
Yeah.
And then the belt buckle. That was the big one.
The belt buckle. So I know.
Blew that up. But I am psyched.
Listen.
I'm psyched.
You do this thing where you hyper-focus on things.
Fuck. Yeah.
For like a hot minute.
Yeah.
The belt buckle's the hyper-focus right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying
There's a reason why.
I'm trying to be as supportive as I possibly can because I want to encourage your excitement. I love it. And here's the thing is I don't want to seem not excited about it. My reservation in the very beginning of the belt buckle was in my head because I am a fashion designer and a retailer. Mm-hmm. My immediate thought process was, well, then we're going to have to make belts. I don't want to make belts. I don't want to do leather. I don't want to be a belt maker.
No,
that's not what I want to do.
That's not what we're doing.
And it didn't like register in my brain that like, we can only make the buckles. People can have their own belt.
Yeah.
Your belt is your responsibility.
Yeah. Amazon.com, so
then,
right?
But then as soon as I realized, I was like, oh, no, we just make the buckle and just sell the buckle. Oh, my God. Okay, that's fine. Yes, I'm on the buckle train.
Yes.
I'm on board.
So,
I'm on board.
Yeah, so now I'm fired up.
So I know. You're
I'm not even a buckle excited. Guy.
And the reason you're excited is because?
It's for guys.
Yes.
That's the main thing. Because I'm like... purses, the glasses case. I was like, okay, maybe. Yeah. I pulled the wallet off a little bit.
You're literally just a boy and you want something.
Yeah.
You want a thing.
Yeah. I got one for Jameson.
I'm making Captain America.
Well,
one for
I'm
Jameson.
Going to. I'm waiting for like a red one to come across.
One.
But even Gav,
I think we have
Gav
a
if you're listening,
yeah, Gav.
We got one coming your way if you haven't received it already. But yeah, American flag. I'm like, belt buckles. I'm like, dude, these things are.
Yeah.
It's for real. Scarlett will be in charge of that stuff.
Yeah. That's a Scarlett thing.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the new things.
I'm designing enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay with that.
Yeah. So, and then, and then also shameless self-plug. Returning my book into a Timber Tote.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
We put my book cover on the inside.
We got an applause over here.
we're figuring out,
cool.
we're experimenting with engraving the outside with a full pattern. So we did a snakeskin pattern engraving. So, and then we did a high gloss finish on black stain. So it looks like patent leather, which is really, really cool. But it's wood. And then on the inside is the cover of my book.
Sure.
And it's prototyping right now, just making sure it all works. But we'll be sharing it on our Instagram. So
yeah,
you can actually see it.
Follow us there. But what's really cool is, I mean, you know, you start thinking like, what else can you do with that thing? You can do alligator, you know,
yeah.
leopard, whatever. Yeah. But really, how many people, I'm curious, how many people out there like that design, but they don't like the idea that an animal had to die,
right?
You know, to deliver that.
Yeah.
Where with, we can replicate that on the wood and they can still have it.
Yes.
But not.
Especially with like the leather elements, like
yeah.
the snakeskin, the crocodile, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it looks we can, really good.
Yeah.
Like it's, it really it looks does
exactly
look
like what it would be.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's even like offset a little bit. So like it, like if you look at real, like we were just talking about this the other day. If you look at real snakeskin bags, the yeah. pattern is never the same on any two yeah. bags. It's kind of offset. It's not quite centered all the time.
Because that's what I asked you. Do you and want it like no, centered?
Yeah. Nope. And you're offset.
Like, and we did it offset.
It looks
And you're really, like, that's why.
It looks really freaking good. It looks like genuine.
And that's what opens up the
yes
the door to
yeah.
what else is possible, yeah. right?
We have a couple more steps to complete it.
Yeah.
And but this is the process. Like, this is what we're talking about. Exactly. Like, the trial and error, that if it doesn't work, okay, what do we need to change to make it work? Because we know this is the end result we want.
Sure.
So what are the steps we need to take to get there? And not letting, like, if it's screwed up, if something's wrong with it, I think I talked about this in the first episode, was having, like, a flexible enough mindset to be able to roll with it
yeah.
and, like, make the changes when they're necessary and be okay with those changes. And understand that the people that genuinely like your product or your service, or that are going to be loyal to you, they will also appreciate the extra effort, and like they will understand totally. If you're taking a little bit of extra time with something.
Totally.
So never be afraid to like take a step back and just reassess.
Sure.
Why am I the only one doing heart-to-heart moments here? Where's your words of wisdom, sir?
They're coming
right now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
That's great.
So this is our Elias Bomb. It's probably our most popular drink. It's going to be at one of our house-infused vodkas with lemonade
and
a splash of Red Bull.
Okay. All right. I might mellow out like hell after this.
That's all right. Because we're about ready to hit our segment of surprise.
Yes.
So you're going to have to... Do you want to set it up?
Yeah. Okay.
So the segment is called...
It tastes like a Sprite.
Smells like Red Bull.
Well, it is
mint. Oh.
But you can choose how to drink it however you want. I mean,
I'm going to sip
it. Bartenders. We just make it for you.
Listen.
The notes here says, gotta slam it through the straw.
Yep.
Whoops.
Gotta slam it through the straw.
Okay. Well, I'm not doing that because I might be a little bit tooted already. So we're going to pipe down.
Tooted already. Yeah. All right. So our segment now is called?
Surprise. It's a game. We're playing a game. So this whole topic, hang on.
Okay. Oh, she's getting comfy. Here we go.
No, I've got like a whole
got the whole couch.
Now. I can like lounge. Okay.
Look at you. You're...
All right. So we
I know our budget's expanding. So
I know.
We got you a couch and I'm still in the chair.
The budget's expanding. So the chairs expand as well. Okay. If I expand, that's a problem.
Oh boy.
All right. So,
I have no idea what we're doing.
Okay.
So this is your time to surprise me.
Okay. So this game is
and
called Red Flag.
And our rules are...
You can't say no.
You can't say no.
You wouldn't say no anyway.
Okay. All right. Let's go.
Okay. So this game is called Red Flags. I learned about this game a couple weeks ago when I was up in Portland for...
Is this yours?
Yes. For my best friend's wedding.
Yes.
One of the other bridesmaids, Betsy... she had this game and we were playing it pretty much the entire weekend. And the night of the wedding, we went back to the hotel.
The night of the wedding.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We went back to the hotel and we stayed up until about 5 o'clock in the morning playing this game. Like the sun was coming up and like, I have not stayed up that late since like I raved. Like I haven't stayed up.
All right.
Anyway. So here's the game. Okay. So what's going to happen is you are going to pick two white cards. Just pick any two white cards.
All right. Do it now?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter?
Nope. Pick two white cards. All
right. I'm going to pick them in the middle over here. Okay. Well, now I messed it up. These drinks are coming in hot. All right. Now what?
It's our podcast. Do I look? We're allowed to cuss.
Do I look?
Yeah. I moved the mic. I'm sorry. Yeah. You look and tell me what they say.
I can't read. Here. Don't make fun of me. So he's ripping on me. All right. So, okay. I see these. What am I supposed to do with these?
Read them to me.
Read them to you. Perfect amount of physical affection and professional wrestler.
Okay. So those are good qualities, right?
Oh, these are qualities. Yes. Oh.
These are good qualities.
So the white ones are the good qualities.
And then we have the red
flags.
So
my good qualities is I have a perfect amount of physical affection. All right. And I'm a professional wrestler.
Well, they're not for you. They're for like another person. So essentially, okay, let me back up.
There's a meme out there. I don't know if you've seen this thing, but it's like what goes through a guy's mind when their wives are like, I can't open the ketchup bottle. And all of a sudden they look like they're a professional wrestler coming out like with their like walk-up like music.
John Cena music is coming.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm imagining.
So anyway, the premise of the game is that you're supposed to build like the perfect date for somebody.
Okay.
And then when you have multiple players, you build the perfect date with two white cards, and then you lay a red card down on somebody's white pile and try to sabotage their date with a red flag.
Okay.
And so the reason why I picked red flags.
Red flag.
Yes, the reason why I picked red flags is because we're talking about making mistakes and learning from your mistakes, right? Okay. So we're gonna try to weed out the red flags.
Okay.
Maybe justify them a little bit in my case.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So you have, what are your white cards?
Perfect amount of physical affection and professional wrestler.
Okay.
Professional wrestler. I love how that's a positive trait, that I'm a professional wrestler.
Yeah. I mean, have you seen John Cena? No, you haven't because you can't see him.
Have you seen those guys in the Olympics?
So here's the red flag.
They're not like John Cena. Wow. Okay. So do I share this?
Yeah.
Regularly host tea parties for dolls. Okay.
Can you justify it?
Justify this?
Yeah. Can you like?
Yes, I can. I can.
Yeah.
What is, am I supposed to?
Sure.
Okay. Because I have a daughter.
Oh, perfect.
Now I don't have a daughter, but that's how I would justify it, is because I'm connecting with my daughter at a high level.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm willing to do these things that may seem unconventional so that I connect with my daughter at a high level.
There you go. Good job. Red flag looked right over. Okay, I'm going to do two white cards, and then you pick a red flag for me.
Well, wait a minute. What about these white ones? What am I supposed to do with these ones?
So you just hang on to them.
I'm still a professional wrestler.
Sure.
Okay, so now you pick out two whites.
Yeah, these are...
No! Okay. Which one did you pick?
I should not have picked that one. The kind of books I read...
You can't pull... That's some BS. I thought we were... Anyway, go ahead.
Here are my white cards. Creates shelters for the homeless.
Okay.
And has the hottest friends.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, okay. I put it to you.
Okay.
Okay. So now you have to pick out a red
flag I pick
for
out.
Me.
Okay. Now I'm starting to feel it. Can I read it or do I just give it to you?
Go ahead. Did you pick a random one? Like you didn't even look?
This is random. Random.
You didn't even look?
Random.
Literally can't make decisions. That's me.
That's great.
We're about
they're cracking up.
We're about to have an entire episode about this exact thing. Listen, this is not a red flag.
Because
this is not a red flag. This is a white flag because that just means I need you to take over and just take
control. I make a lot of decisions in this company, right?
Yeah, you do.
But a lot of times I'm like, I need you to make the decision. You're like,
I'm like, please don't make me do that.
I'm like, nope, you're making this decision. I push you. And you'll get there. You're like, I don't know if I want gold or antique. I'm like, make the decision.
How do you give a people pleaser an aneurysm? You make them make a choice without knowing how you feel about it.
Oh, Jesus. It's like a dad joke. I love it.
Okay. All right.
Do we go one more round here?
Sure. One more round. All right, and then I have another surprise for you.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of surprises.
Wait, I haven't finished this round. Okay.
Oops.
So this is our jalapeno kamikaze. Oh, my gosh.
He said oops and then chugged it. Wait, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. So this is a surprise for you because I heard that you're not big on spice and you're not big on vodka. So this is a spicy vodka. It's our house infused. Two in one. It's our house infused jalapeno vodka with triple sec and a splash of sour and a splash of lemonade.
I thought we were friends.
We are friends. It's very tasty. It's just a little spicy.
All right.
It's called our jalapeno kamikaze.
All right.
You know, it's kind of crazy. You're kind of spicy. In your book,
right? Spicy romance. Right.
But you won't eat a jalapeno. All right, cheers. We're getting there.
That's what he said. Joke.
Oh boy.
Ow!
There's some jalapeno in that for sure.
Yeah, there is. All right, I actually have a funny story about jalapenos.
Go for it.
Okay. That's painful. Ow!
That was good, by the way.
Okay. So, Scarlett had made some jam last time she was in Texas.
Okay.
Jalapeno prickly pear.
Okay? Yeah, that's right.
So, one night, her and I go out. We were kid-free for a night. So, we go out. We come home a little tooted.
A little hall pass action.
3 a.m.
I think I heard this. Yep.
So, we were hungry because we were a little tipsy. So, we're hungry. So, I make toast and she puts the jam on it.
Oh, the jalapeno prickly pear?
It was pink, so I thought it was strawberry. Oh. So she was eating it. I was not eating it. I had buttered toast.
Okay.
And she had the jam toast. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I thought it was strawberry because I just saw pink. So then she can't finish the second piece of toast, so she gives it to me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm eating it. I'm about halfway through, and I'm like, we're in the middle of a conversation. I was like, why does this hurt? Why is eating toast hurting me? And she goes, oh my God, it's jalapeno prickly pear jam. And I was like, why have you forsaken me?
Oh my God. That's funny.
I was not expecting it to be spicy and I didn't notice until halfway through.
Oh man.
You know what? At least we weren't in a tree.
I know.
Anyway, okay.
All right. So we go back to this. So now, wait a minute. Literally can't make decisions.
Yeah.
Aren't you supposed to justify?
I did.
Oh, you did?
That's me.
That's just
justified. That's me.
All right. Are we going to keep going with this thing?
Hang on. Creates shelters for the homeless. Has the hottest friends. Literally can't make decisions. Oh. Hi, I'm Chelsea.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's funny. All right.
All right. Okay. We're out of time.
What's your other surprise?
My other surprise is we have our first listener story.
Oh, boy.
So give me a second while I pull it up. All right.
So on the website, if you go to zerodaysince.com, you go in there, you can read up a little bit about the podcast, but then there's an area down at the bottom where you can submit your story that you have. Yes. That's like a 0 day since story. And so we had someone submit something. Now you have it, and I've never heard it before.
Yes.
Oh boy.
And it fits today's
topic. All right, I'm excited.
So well.
All right, I'm stoked.
Okay.
Let it rip.
So I'm going to preface this with we've been asked to keep everything anonymous.
Fair enough.
So names have been changed.
Yeah, so if anyone's afraid of doing that,
yeah. We'll absolutely keep things anonymous. Names have been changed. The names of the cars have been changed. The makes and models of the cars involved have been changed.
I'm a car guy.
And the name of the business is not mentioned.
Okay.
Okay. So, we got this story. I'm so excited. Okay.
All right.
Here we go. I and my partner own an auto shop in town, and we get some really cool top dollar cars that come through to get wraps and detail work done. We're a new shop, but we both come from a long background in our respective fields, so we have both brought client lists to this new shop, one of which we've both done work for before. So we'll call him Mark. He's a long-standing customer. We've done a lot of work for him. He calls us and tells us he's selling his car and it needs some work done. The wrap needs touching up, maybe a new design, and in the past we've done the same car. We wrapped it around 3 years ago and it turned out great and it was a really cool job. We've done close to $15,000 in work for this guy. $15,000
in wraps. That's a lot of stuff. A lot of work.
Yeah.
Good for him.
So we've done $15,000 in work for this guy over the last few years. And honestly, he comes from a sketchy work background.
Oh. So right off the rip, he's kind of like,
listen,
hey, don't ask, don't tell.
This is Tucson, Arizona.
Hey, I'm just saying. I get it. Don't ask, don't tell sometimes. All right.
We're told not to ask But he always pays his bill. And we just know not to ask questions about where his money comes from.
That's what I just said, right?
Yes.
That's what I just said.
Okay.
Okay, all fair right. enough.
So we set the appointment and he brings us the car he's super excited, praising the new shop, telling us how proud he is of us, and that he'll be sending us a bunch of business.
That's cool.
We work out the details of the car he brought, setting the appointment for, like, the official appointment for a few days later. Regardless, he decides to leave the car that same day. Again, it's a car we've done in the past, so it's not completely abnormal for a regular customer to just drop off the car and let us keep it in the garage until it's done. We order the film, and about a week goes by, and we fixed the damage, changed the design, added some two-tone wraps, which, side note, was weird because he said he was trying to sell the car. But yet again, it's a car we've done before. We know him, so no asking questions.
Right.
Once the car's done, we reach out, letting him know it's ready to pick up. Zero response. He read the message, but didn't respond. That's weird. We give it a day, decide to give it a detail, let him know we're going to do an interior detail as a nice gesture for the regular customer, and ultimately it's ready to pick up. Yet again, no response. Another full week goes by.
Oh boy.
Still no response for anything.
Yeah, this is like, speaking of red flags, I'm just like, oh boy, what's going on here?
Finally, he texts.
Bro's like, this guy's in jail. This guy might be dead.
Yeah. Okay.
This is where my mind's going.
Yeah. Okay. Finally, he texts, car looks great. I'll pick it up tomorrow.
Oh.
Another week
like,
goes
where
by.
You been? Bro? Oh, so definitely jail. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, keep going. Okay. Another week goes by and he still has not come to pick up the car. In the meantime, there's another customer who is also a regular, asks for a detail, and he's the kind of guy that will hang out and watch the car get done. He's a pretty good friend, so that's fine. He happens to have the same exact car. Now, it's a rare car, so he got really excited and took a few pictures. He made an Instagram story, excited to share that there are two of the same car in the same spot at once.
Yeah.
And we love people taking pictures and posting them, so it was welcome gesture. Within an hour of getting posted, Mark calls us and said, hey, the car looks great. I'll be by tomorrow, by the way. But no pics and don't post it.
Okay.
So that's weird because the car was bright blue, flashy, rare, and it's one of those things that people usually want pictures and welcome pictures of being taken.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, privacy. Plus, we do have a lot of customers that like to reveal new wraps and details themselves before we do. Okay. Yeah, actually.
I mean, because I'm a car guy, right? So I got my old 66 Mustang.
Like, you want, and I kind of like sometimes I'll be like. Yeah, for sure. So it was a weird request, but not totally out of the realm of understanding. Another week goes by. So now it's been
another week.
So now it's been a month of this $100,000 car.
Out of jail.
So now it's been a month of this $100,000 car just sitting in the garage. We're now calling this guy daily to pick up the car because we need the space. We also need to get paid.
Oh, I thought he got paid. Oh,
they haven't been paid yet. Okay.
At least you got the car, though.
So
that's collateral.
We know Mark's boss.
Uh-oh.
We've done 10 of his cars.
Is this car hot?
He's a regular, high-paying customer who has never had any issues and is constantly
and
bringing his business.
Car?
We call him, asking if he could help us get a hold of
those
Mark.
I'd be running some VINs
they already
all of
did.
A sudden.
Okay, I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
Offering to have him pick up. We call him, asking if he could help us get a hold of Mark, offering to have Albert, the other guy they called, pick up. We just need to get the car out and the bill settled. Albert answers the phone, tells us that he hasn't heard from Mark in a while either. Nobody knows what's going on. He offered to help us track him down and let us know what he finds out. So now we're worried something happened because we know he has nefarious connections that we don't ask questions about. So there's a few different things that could have happened. So now a few days goes by and we get a text from Mark that says he is going to try and send someone to get the car, but he doesn't know when.
Send someone?
Not great. So we're still trying to move things around, work around this car, wiping it down over and over since it's collecting dust. It's been a month. Okay, so now it's the following weekend. It's Saturday morning. My partner and I are at the shop moving cars around and getting our day started. We open the door and immediately a blacked out car screeches up and a woman comes out with three big goons and two tow trucks behind her. Chaos descends upon the shop. The woman is heated, points at the car and yells, "That's my car!"
You've got to be kidding me.
We are confused. Is she the one picking up the car? No, the car is stolen. There's no way that's possible.
I knew it!
There's no way that's possible. We've done the car before 3 years ago.
But you ran the... Okay, go ahead.
And we know the owner. So what is going on? The woman continues yelling that she's taking the car. The goons are hovering, and I'm refusing to let the car go until someone pays for it. My partner's pushing to let her.
Story.
I know. My partner's pushing to let her take the car since the goons are gathering like a pack of well-trained pit bulls. And we get but we get things calmed down enough, and she finally explains what's going on. Turns out she is Mark's soon-to-be ex-wife, and they're going through a very messy, very violent divorce.
Right.
She bought the car for him, but it's in her name and only her name. Legally, it's hers to take. That's not good. Also, none of my business. So I go to check the paperwork, but there's none in the glove box. Now, she threatens to call the police. I said, absolutely call the police. I'd love the police to come and help us sort this out. There's no paperwork, but I checked the VIN when we got it into the shop, and nothing came up about it being reported as stolen. The tow truck driver pulls up with the paperwork, proving it's all in her name, but the car was never reported. At this point, the police are on the phone with all of us, listening to this woman prove to be the owner. The detective on the line ultimately tells me, it's her car, it's in your best interest to release the car.
So he just got jacked.
Yeah. You can put a lien, but it would behoove you to release the vehicle. You have a legal right to keep it, but it's not worth the fight. You'd probably spend more money on a lawyer than you would the what it cost him. Okay. So my partner's pushing to take the loss and just agree to release the car. So we reluctantly agree on my part, releasing the car without payment. Or reluctantly on my part, we release the car without payment. Goons take the car. The ex-wife.
The goons. Goons.
I just love it.
That is pretty good.
The ex-wife leaves with the tow trucks, which are, side note, from a company she apparently owns. And she made the choice to use the trucks and their drivers to intimidate us. After everything, she came back and apologized for how she rolled up, claiming that she had been looking for the car for a month.
Oh, wow.
She came home and the car was gone. She checked her cameras and saw that Mark took it and has been looking for it since.
What kind of car is this?
I can't tell you.
Oh, I'm super excited. Because I'm like, I'll tell you after. This has got to be some kind of like a sweet car.
Okay. So here's where it gets even worse.
Okay.
She reached out to the shop that built the car, and that's how she found out that there were extra keys, one of which Mark apparently kept and never told her. She changed her locks, but he managed to get in the garage with an old code and took the car.
Geez.
She couldn't report it as stolen since they're still legally married. The shop that built the car, Albert's shop. So the guy he called to be like, where's Mark? And he's like, I don't know.
Interesting.
Turns out Albert was supposed to be a part of the car's build as it was supposed to act as a demo car for his shop. However, Mark owes him $90,000 for the work on the engine.
Jeez Louise.
A bill he cut out on, quit his job at the shop, and disappeared a month ago. The ex-wife called Albert's shop when she saw Mark took the car, and he promised to help her try and find it. Then lo and behold, I call him a month later looking for Mark because I have the car. Apparently hung up with me and immediately called her, letting her know where the car was. Cue chaos. Hey, Albert, a little warning would have been nice. He said he didn't want to spook us, as if a blacked out Altima and tow trucks full of goons isn't spooky.
Oh my God.
Anyway, the wife apologizes. That's cool. Can you still pay the bill at cost at least? Absolutely not. Hope you have a better weekend.
Oh, wow. How much more of the story do you got?
We're almost done.
Okay.
We sat there and stared off into the sunset as the ruffians took the car, and now we're out. The cost of the film at minimum, not including the labor we had put into it and all the washes while the car sat in the garage for a month.
Jeez.
I reached out to Mark. This is the kicker. I reached out to Mark, ultimately having to settle and send a text message explaining that his ex-wife came and picked up the car, that we are still owed the money for the work done. I included an invoice for the cost of the film with a text message. Mark responded by rejecting the invoice and sending a frowny face emoji.
Frowny face.
And then he blocked us.
With a little poop emoji. Jeez Louise.
And then he blocked us. The frowny face emoji. I can't. Anyway, always take a deposit no matter how well you think you know a customer.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So can I pause for just a second?
Yeah.
Anyone wanting to submit a story, that one is the standard.
Yes, that
like,
is what
that's the bar. Like, if you think you can beat that, help yourself, you know? But jeez Louise.
That's insane. Yeah, always take a deposit.
0 days since we didn't take a deposit is what I'd get from that
0 days since we had goons roll up on us. That's insane.
Could you imagine like us with like some timber toes and just some goons rolling in?
That would
like
never.
Proper.
We
They're
would
like,
never.
I'm here for the Kathleen Arthur. I'm like,
okay, you know what? I'd be like, I don't blame you. She's fucking fabulous. Oh, sorry. She's fabulous.
Yeah, right. I know. How many drinks are we in? A couple of F-bombs might drop quick.
Listen, what did I say earlier? We have one more drink?
This?
Sir!
This all right. Is an option.
We're getting ready to wrap this sucker up, so.
This is the last one. This was meant for the very end.
Okay, all right.
It's an option. It's called a Mexican candy. Oh. We have won awards with this shot.
Won awards.
I will say it is spicy.
Okay.
You ready?
Let me get...
Tahini rim?
I gotta prepare.
Tahini rim.
All right.
Habanero vodka, strawberry vodka, watermelon schnapps, sour, and... Oh, is this something? No, that's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
I don't remember anything you said.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I heard habanero, and then I was done. All right.
Those ones are good. I'm a spicy...
Jason's favorite.
Yeah. I like spicy.
That's in the back of the throat.
Yeah.
Listen.
Oof! We got cringes over here.
That tastes really good, but it hurts a lot. All right.
I love the story, by the way.
That was great.
I mean,
That's what we want.
So I have a saying that says, a great story always has the potential of someone dying.
Yeah.
Like, you can't.
It's only funny die. If you don't actually die.
Yeah, yeah. So from our perspective, whoever this is, Mr. Anonymous, yeah. I'm glad you guys are safe.
Yeah, oh yeah, my gosh, for sure.
What a bummer of a story, know. You know? But
so he ended up saying that, like, at the very tail end, he had a PS that said that Albert made amends by sending them, like, a really high ticket job. So it kind of made up for what they lost a little bit. And they're good with Albert now.
I don't know about that, but.
Albert.
Well, needless to say, anyway. I mean, honestly, I mean, this is kind of like a business thought where it's kind of like, that's why sometimes you push for like deposits, you know, for at least cost, you know, sometimes you lose out on some of the profit side, but at least you're not out some of the cost, you know,
and you know what?
And even if it's like existing customers or good customers, sometimes you're like, we got to, it's just, you got to implement it. You never know.
You never know. And like, I mean, listen. Lessons learned.
Yeah.
The hard way. Listen, it's inevitable.
I know.
What did you say earlier? The consequences of my own actions.
I don't remember what I said.
I don't remember either.
I don't remember a lot. Well, listen, let's end on a high note.
Yeah.
That was an amazing story, honestly. That was fun. So listen, if any of the listeners out there have stories like that, or just anything, you know, go to our website. It's zerodaysense.com. If you go on there, at the bottom, there's a spot where you can make some comments.
Yeah.
But we encourage people. We want to hear about some of the other stories out there because we're not entrepreneurs just by ourselves, you know? So we want to be like, hey, what else is going on out there?
Yeah.
So make some comments and we'll read them on the podcast as well.
For sure. Yeah. You can do it on the website. Follow us on Instagram, Zero Day Synth on Instagram. You can always message us there.
Yeah.
But
I think that's it. So,
All right.
Well, we're Zero Day Synths pretending to be professionals, and we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
See you guys.